well, this past week particularly has been a little bit challenging, and I'm tired. Specifically, like, now we both use like the Whoop straps, right? So I also have the data for it, and my data is really bad right now. I have a 15% recovery score today. That's terrible.
Oh my god.
So as you can see, my past week has been, you know, taking a toll on me, at least to some extent. And I'm just trying to, you know, keep everything together at the moment. Yeah, that's probably like the short recap on my current status.
Yeah. Because we have each other on Whoop, I do check how we're doing. This is leadership thing.
Leaderboard.
So I just check just to like see. And I was like wondering, what's he doing? Why? Because you normally sleep a lot. Like, you're normally good on it. But I don't know if it's since you got the Whoop watch or something, but your data hasn't been that good. To be honest, last weekend, I was really bad. My recovery and everything was like 15% as well, or like even 10. So, I mean, it happens. It's okay. But the thing is, it's hard to recover from that. For me, it took like, I've been in sleep debt this whole week only because of one day during the weekend.
Yeah,
it is challenging. For me, I also see that my data is super volatile. So sometimes I have like a 90-something recovery score and have like a decently high sleep score. And then other days I just drop from like 85% recovery to like 15%. I mean, also now you can see the graph, and it was like at 80% yesterday or something, then it dropped to like 15 today. I don't know. It's good to have that data for me. It really helps because you know, often I wake up and I have sort of a feeling, but often I see like my data is actually quite different from how I feel. Like, I wouldn't have expected to feel to be that badly recovered. But now having the data, I know that I really need to, take a chill day today and try to recover and get some proper sleep. Yeah. Also regarding my sleep specifically, I've just seen that there's really a big difference, at least for me, between, you know, the time spent in bed, which is always what I used to call my sleeping time, and the actual time that I'm asleep while I'm in bed. And especially if I wake up like early in the morning at like 5 or 6 a.m., not getting up, but just like waking up naturally, I often tend to not fall asleep again for like the next 2 hours. So I might still be in bed for like 8 or 9 hours, but I only slept like 6 hours or something. So yeah, I don't know. It's a balancing thing right now that I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's different for everyone, because I do agree in the recovery thing, because sometimes before I got my Whoop watch, I thought the 100, like the percentage you often see, like 100%, I thought that was everything, taking everything into account. But I think that's just if you reach the hours you get, like you need to be getting. So I've been on 100% sleep and like 40% recovery, which is weird, because I didn't think it worked like that. But
yeah,
I feel like it's quite accurate. And because you were saying, for you, sometimes you feel more rested than what your recovery says. But if you take that into account in the morning, then of course you've just woken up, so you've had sleep. But for me, like, it's always quite accurate, because during the day, when my recovery is good, I'm fine at 8 p.m. But if my recovery isn't, I could be fine at like 9 a.m. obviously, but at 4 p.m. I'm like dead. So for me, that's been quite accurate, but I still don't. So I know the recovery, like, it takes into account HRV, so heart rate variability, but yes. I still like don't know how they do it, because it is accurate, but like, how do they know that I'm feeling tired? Just because I don't know. This is weird. Or when I drink alcohol or something, it just drops. Like, maybe I didn't journal, because sometimes I skip journaling, like what I did that day, which is not good. But sometimes I just skip it, and it's still accurate. Like, it's still, because I don't know. I'm like, wow.
It's the magic of technology.
Yeah, I know, but it's crazy. Like, I don't know. I think I want to set like a goal on like learning about recovery, about like that specific thing of recovery in Whoop, and trying to get it better, because I think that's what impacts the like sleep. Obviously, it's the main goal of it, but even with a within 100%, your recovery could be bad, and recovery is what you feel during the day. So that's something I want to focus on.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really understand this heart rate variability thing at this point or yet, because I believed, I thought I had heard that it is good to have a low heart rate variability. I heard that from Brian Johnson from the Blueprint Protocol, that apparently like you should try to have like a low heart rate variability. But then my app keeps telling me, oh, you have a 50% increase in heart rate variability. That means you're ready for performance and like doing things. And I'm like, what? I thought it was supposed to be low. And then today my heart rate variability is like really low. It's like 50 or something. And I thought that's like a good thing to have like a low heart rate variability. But apparently it's telling me, it's so funny. It says in German that I am fix und fertig, which is like the German way of saying you're totally wasted. So it's really bad. I don't know what they're trying to tell me, but yeah, I think it's like good if you understand the specific markers and you know like what you're actually trying to shoot for. But then of course there's like one side, like you have the data, that's great, and you see like where you stand in the moment. But then really it's about like implementing systems to actually ensure you do the things that help you get these better scores, right? And that's the actual work, right? So that's something I'm trying to figure out. This last week, it's just been like a lot going on. I have my exams coming up and I'm trying to really be a good student and sort of also embrace that student identity, which I haven't been doing like for a long time. And it's actually like fun getting back into that. But it's just like a lot of content. And I know it's going to be like a close call for me to even make some of the exams, like pass them, which is also probably like even the more fundamental thing that I've experienced this last week, and especially like in general, like my time here in Munich, my identities have really been challenged, like here in Munich, and my different identities. For example, my identity as a student is currently heavily being challenged, and that's really like exhausting. So back in high school, as you know, right, I was always doing pretty well in high school. I you know, graduated as one of the like top students at my high school. And it always seemed like a game to me, like studying for an exam the night before was totally fine to pass the exam or even get like top grades. And now I'm suddenly in this situation where there's like a ton more content. Everyone around me appears to be so much smarter than me and so much more capable than me. And they also like, yes, I am doing additional things on top of uni, but all of them are also doing additional stuff on top of uni. So it's not as if I'm like this extraordinary special kid who's like doing many things. No, everyone's doing many things, but still they appear to be handling all of this much better than I am. And so I also got my first exam back, and the grade on that wasn't terrible. It's still a good grade, but it wasn't as good as I would have liked it to be. And so all of this in combination just sort of challenges me again and my identity as a student. And it's, you know, creating this discrepancy between what I thought I am as a student and what I now appear to be as a student. So yeah, that's been kind of exhausting this past week.
Yeah, this is funny like to hear. I know it's serious and like I'm not laughing at you, but it's the situation is funny, because I remember me talking to you about school and like being stressed and having these much like a lot of work, and for you it wasn't the case, which, well, it probably because you are smart, and I think the systems in Spain and Germany are different for high school, so it's got strange to see you saying that, and I'm like, yes, I get it now. He gets it now. He sees it, because it is hard, and it is hard to manage everything that you do and still trying to keep up with uni, even if it's not your main focus. Like, you're not gonna leave it there, especially when everyone around you is doing well. You can't be the only one that isn't doing well, because everyone has things, as you're saying, like you're not the only person that does things outside uni. So for me it's kind of the same, but I'm more used to it because it's been happening since like 2 years ago, I think, since I started like the last 2 years of high school. And like everyone does sports or works or whatever, And it's like, how? And how do you get a good grip? Like, I don't think I'm better than everyone else, obviously, but I do have that thing in my mind, like, I'm ahead of people. Because I just like feeling like that, and it's just good to have that inside, even if it's not true. But when you look at people getting good grades, like, I don't know, it's like, how do you study so well? How do you, or, like, I don't know, it's hard, but at the same time, it's just getting used to it, aren't it? You just have to get used to it and, like, adapt the new identity, which is, it's fine. Like, you don't have to be the best. You're the best at what you do, what you decide. So you're, have your business and stuff like that. You're very good at that. And you don't have to be the best student. You just have to adapt to being a student, which is fine. You don't need to get good grades or anything. For you, you weren't even planning on going to uni. So it's completely fine. Just accept the identity. And it's just what comes with it. Like, it's completely normal. So.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for saying that. That's always nice to get some encouragement. For me, it's also this thing which kind of bothers me a bit, because I know that this, like, situation that I'm in right now, being challenged on all fronts, right? Which is, for example, like my student identity, but it's also my identity, you know, in my business. I'm constantly being challenged, right? And sometimes in an uncomfortable way. So not just like this heroic being challenged. Oh my God, I'm working so hard. I'm this cool entrepreneur or something. But it's also sometimes like genuinely challenging. And I feel this like inner pressure that's like, I can also like feel it physically. But what bothers me about it is that it's uncomfortable, but at the same time, I know it's exactly what I always wanted, because this situation that I'm in right now is the situation that's going to allow me to, you know, become better at the things that I'm doing and go into that next phase where I'm becoming like more competent and sort of like create my own abilities or advance my own abilities to manage these things. So on one hand, it's like challenging and somewhat uncomfortable, but I also know it's exactly what I like. It's exactly the situation that I need to be in. And just like accepting this fact that these two things, growth and this uncomfortable reality of it, are like interconnected and can't be separated, that's just something I still have to wrap my head around. But again, it's exactly the situation where I should be in, because it allows me to move past the current version of myself, which was like the guy who became very comfortable at the top of his food chain, essentially, you know, like in high school. Having no one who's like really like, obviously there were other like super smart people and some of them were smarter than me in like other fields, but I wasn't being challenged so fundamentally, and now I'm being challenged on these fundamental levels, and that requires me to now become better so that these things don't affect me anymore. So it's just like balancing this reality and accepting it and embracing it and figuring that out.
It's good that you have that in mind, that it's what you what it should be happening, that you feel like you feeling uncomfortable, because that means like so if you feel you're going the right way, you won't stop doing it, which is what you should do. You should try to go through that uncomfortableness, which I don't think that's a word, but you know what I mean. So I heard this quote, I think it was yesterday in English class, which is weird because it's English for business. So it was the problem is not setting the goals too high and not achieving them. It's setting them too low and achieving them. It's not exactly that quote, but it's what it was saying. And it's true. Like, if you were to give up and do better in school because you didn't have other things, or maybe stop school or get less clients or stuff like that, you would be maybe less uncomfortable, or you would maybe be doing better at those specific things.
Yeah.
But now you're going to university, you're starting your own business, you're setting all those systems, we're starting a podcast, like, you're doing so many things. And even if you're failing some classes in school, it's fine, because you're trying, you will eventually get it. And you're doing all these things. So, like, that's something you should be proud of. And just keep going, like, having that mindset of, this is what I should be doing, even if it's uncomfortable. So, yeah.
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 And then again, you know, for me, it's Again, I totally agree. And with these like quotes, I mean, we've all heard them. They're sort of like quotes you find on LinkedIn also, yeah, which is like the only social media I use. And they definitely still, I mean, of course you can like criticize them in like the detail form, but fundamentally in their essence, I think they do have like some truth to them.
Yeah.
At the same time, and I think we also talked about this, I'm not quite sure if it was the last podcast, but we talked about this in general. I also kind of want to believe that there is a way where all of this, where I can still grow, but without sacrificing like too much like fun. And again, it's just like this, I know like I have like so many cool things to do, right? But then again, sometimes I feel like I could be doing more, right? Because, you know, there's obviously like when you say it like this, like you're starting a business, you're studying, like you're starting a podcast, that sounds really great. But of course, the reality is like sometimes I'm also like wasting time. And then I feel like, I could have like traded this for something more useful, right? But that's like this typical problem. I don't know. It's just, I want this to be a fun time of growth and of learning. And putting that into reality, or trying to take this idea and turning it into reality, is just like a little harder than expected, which I guess, I mean, is also some baseline naivety that I might have had, that all of this can be super simple and that I just go from high school to uni and it's like easy again and like nobody challenges me. Maybe that was a bit naive, right? And maybe that's also just like part of this growth process, accepting that there are like higher levels and that I didn't max out this game of life at the age of like 18 or something, but that there's still like more levels to go to, right? But it's kind of daunting. I think for like a long time, like towards the end of high school, I really felt like in certain ways I had like figured things out and things were stable and I had secured my my place on this planet. And now suddenly like there's this whole new like space that's opening up, which again, it's like always this dichotomy, right? Like the new space opens up and it's really exciting because it gives you like so many new opportunities and like this big playground to just like explore and turn into cool things. But at the same time, it's also scary, like this darkness in front of you and you don't quite know, like it's an unknown environment and you're trying to like discover it, and sometimes you trip because you're not familiar with the environment. So yeah, again, just a balancing process, but I think step by step and by implementing like systems for me, like sleep, I mean, we started this conversation with it, really is important, because today I technically have like a full day, which is free except for this like meeting for the podcast. But because I've been so tired with this like super low recovery score, right, I haven't been able to take like, well, to make much of this day so far. So yeah, I don't know. How are you coping with, you know, university and this project, for example? Do you have like any strategies for you in place trying to balance these things?
Yes and no. I think because this has been like my life always, so school being kind of the center and then adding things around it, I think it's just, it's kind of the normal thing. So now it's just having, because now I do want to do more things, but I still, so for example, our podcast session, we had that last year for the blog. So it's just kind of knowing when I have the time and the energy, just trying to fit everything around. It shouldn't, I know it's not that great that school is such a big thing when I have other big things I want to focus on, but that's just the reality of like of my life. And I know I need to put more energy into that because it's just more challenging right now for the goals that I have. So it's just focusing on school and then scheduling and putting times around that. So for the gym, last term I started going to the gym like 4 days a week right after school, but then after 2 months it just wasn't working because I didn't have energy. And then after the gym, I had to study and I just couldn't study because I was so tired from being in school in university all day and then going to the gym. So I stopped going to the gym, but that was a problem because it interfered with one of my goals. So school, which is one of my goals, interfered with another of my goals, which was going to the gym. So I had to work something out. So I stopped and looked at it. And I was like, okay, when do I have more energy? When can I fit this in? And it's just about looking at, like, for me, it's been the calendar. It's like been looking at it all the time. I look at it like every day and I try to fit everything in. So now I decided I'm going to go Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, because I know Friday, I can go Friday after like at like 7 p.m. and then I could just go to the gym and then have dinner and rest a bit and sleep. So I don't have to study afterwards and I can take it more as a resting thing, because it's not so mental resting, I guess. So it's just working on energy and what your priorities are. For me right now, my priority is school, so I have to work everything around that, but at the same time not giving it up. So it's been just bad, but at the same time, so for example, on Fridays, if I hadn't had a good sleep yesterday, I wouldn't have had any energy to go to the gym. So apart from that, you have to have your systems in place where you have to sleep well, because if not, you're not going to have the energy to do this and this and this. And then it's just, and you have to like eat well and just have everything. You have the systems and the goals. It's just having, like, making it all work together is quite difficult, because sometimes I just don't want to sleep at this time because I want to read or I want to watch a movie, and I just need some time for myself. And I don't want to wait until Saturday or Sunday. So I don't sleep early, and I don't, and I know I have to wake up at this time. So my sleep is decreased, and then I don't have energy for this. And then my study is worse. So I need to study on the weekends more. So it just accumulates, and it's just trying to be kind of constant with what you know needs to get done. So sleep, and then just everything around it, I guess. I don't know. It's hard.
I think that's pretty good. It's, I mean, essentially what you've said, if I paraphrase you, it's just like trying to always make sure that your energy is preserved throughout the entire system. Then you work everything around that. And then you might have like a focus point for you that's studying. For me, to be honest, it's like 50-50 between studying and my business, because I do also want to take studying seriously, because I do actually enjoy it. But really like this energy preservation, because again, I totally agree. I have the same thing. If I feel well rested and I have like a full day, like full of stuff, like meetings with clients, studying to do, and I know it's going to be like high pressure, if I have a good night's sleep before that day, then it does feel like, it might still be a challenging day, but I should be able to do it, right? But if I have like a terrible night's sleep before such a day, then yes, it just becomes miserable. And there's like this one quote, which I really like from Brian Johnson. I mean, we've talked about him before. And he says, a good night's sleep is the difference between hope and despair. And I really like that, but because for me, I can totally relate to that. If I wake up like refreshed and I have like a good energy supply and my whoop sort of supports that information, then I feel like, this day is my day. I can just, you know, take it on and get the things done that I need to get done, and I can handle the pressure, right? But if I don't have that, if I have like low energy, then I also feel like I'm much more sensitive to like these small things like pulling me down. And it could just be like a person canceling a meeting that we had, like a friend or something, right? Or it could be like, I don't know, like getting a grade that wasn't as good as I would have hoped or would have liked it to be. And then those things, if I'm like sleep deprived or like tired, then these things like really make me emotionally unstable. And that's just like not the greatest state to be in. Yeah. But then again, it's sometimes like difficult. Like yesterday, for example, I was invited to a birthday. So I went to birthday last night. And then I had this really really good conversation with this one guy, and we just like kept talking. And then it suddenly was like 1 a.m., right? And then I don't know, like I still had to go home, right? So it was kind of late when I eventually went to bed. But this is like this perfect example where I wasn't quite sure, like it kind of seemed worth it. Like we had a really good conversation. I might get in touch with this guy again, like maybe start something or whatever, just like have like another like nice conversation. But then again, like now I feel terribly tired today. And so I'm not quite sure like where to make the trade-off, right?
I forgot to mention that when I was talking about like my week, because obviously social life is a big part of your life. And I don't take it into account as a goal, but it is kind of main area. So what I do, maybe it helps you. I try from Monday to Friday, I try to limit social activity. Like, I do go to the library with friends and everything, but...
People, oh my God.
No, I see my friends in university and in the library to see my other friends, and I see my family for lunch and everything like that. But I don't go out, so I know I'm at home at 9 the latest. So
yeah.
It is, and just have more flexibility on Saturday and Sunday, or even Friday. Because the thing is, even if you have your schedule, you need to like let go sometimes. You can't just do things in order all the time, because it's exhausting to do so. Like, it's exhausting not having a schedule, but sometimes you just need to kind of let go. So if you go to sleep at 2 or 3, just wake up a bit later and then maybe do a bit less of work. Like, that's what I take it. Like, Saturdays and Sundays, I do have a schedule for Saturdays and Sundays, but if it doesn't work out, then it's not that bad. As if during the week, if it's something didn't work out, it would be worse. But I think you just have to, in that example, I would have been in that conversation. I wouldn't have gone home. Like, I think you need to just have a bit of flexibility in those cases, because, you know, life is that. Like, it's going to happen and you have to be okay with this. You can't feel bad about it, because then it's just going to be worse, because it would have happened and then you would have felt bad about it. So it's not good.
I also feel like, this almost, I listened to this podcast with Peter Attia this week, and he talked about this, like when he was young, he really needed to have like rigid structures and like systems in place and like timing things like super rigidly in his calendar and stuff like that to stick to his like routines and all that kind of stuff, right? But then as he got older, he became more flexible, or he allowed himself to become more flexible to take into account like things like family and stuff like that. I don't know. I also felt like that I actually got so good at certain systems in my life that I was becoming so good that I could allow myself to be flexible with it and not treat it like at this exact minute of the day, you need to be doing X, Y, Z, right? But I feel like once you get into the pit hole, or like once you fall into this, into this pit, where you are in a like somewhat unstable situation, which is how I have felt, you know, this last week and like the last couple of weeks, then I think it might actually be good to sort of like just to get you back up to speed, to sort of use like rigid structures. And for me, like, I really enjoyed the day yesterday, but feeling so tired today and like almost having lost this entire day to just like not feeling so amazing, right? It really gives me the perspective that I might, you know, need to be super rigid again to get back into that. But again, it's a process, and I'm sure it's all gonna be fine. And I also like want to accept this as like part of this process, right? It's inevitable that on this like longer big picture perspective, which is what I always try to get back to, there are gonna be like days or weeks like this where I sort of like, yeah, just like fail to, you know, keep everything in place. But I just also like need to learn to deal with that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of don't agree with that part of needing to set the structure back, because I don't know, you need to like learn to be okay with something not going perfectly, and structures like that doesn't let you do it. Like, it just doesn't. And I know it is what works, but it's okay if it doesn't work one day. Like, it's like cheat meals or something like that, for example. People, you need to kind of let loose a bit. And in the future, you're not gonna remember like this day I wasn't that productive. You're gonna remember I had a conversation. I don't know, if your priorities is to work, I guess you could put it, but why? You need to, like, is it really much more important to you to have a very productive day? Because if it is, then, I mean, it depends on your values and what you prioritize. But if you've been prioritizing work for the whole week, isn't it okay to change that for one day? So, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I guess, this is like this one concept which I once heard somewhere, which I don't know who actually introduced that concept, but it's the concept of the total worker. right? Which is something that our generation is increasingly becoming. Like, we're using our free time to try to keep optimizing our performance to be able to produce more work. And like, everything's like centered around work, or like, at least in a more abstract sense, like everything's centered around like generating as much outcome or like economic outcome as possible, whether that's like for an actual job or for university or for projects. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm fine with, you know, also having days where like nothing happens. What I really want to achieve is get to a point where, despite like the inevitable like struggles of life, I at least have the sort of stability, like the baseline stability, to be able to take these things on with some level of confidence and like hope again, like a positive outlook on these things. Yeah. And again, I mean, this past week was like an example of a week where this didn't like perfectly work out. But, you know, step by step. And I'm sure like once I get a good night's sleep again, life's going to be very different again. And yeah, we'll just see. There's this other thing I wanted to talk to you about, which is a complete change of topics. But it's something that might be interesting to you. So recently, I'm not even sure if it was this week. I think it was last week. But I spent one entire day at the office of Deloitte in Munich. And I think you mentioned wanting to potentially work at Deloitte one day. So maybe like for your benefit, we can talk a bit about that experience.
Yeah, talk to me about it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I was studying with a friend, as you know, the good student that I'm trying to be. And then she told me, oh, there's this Deloitte there's this event organized by Deloitte. And she was signing up, and then she asked me to just sign up with her. For Deloitte, it's, to be honest, I found it kind of ridiculous, but at Deloitte, like even for an event, you have to like apply with a full application. Like you need like your CV, you need like a document, you need to show your high school certificates, all that kind of stuff. And then I just applied. It was the last day of application. And it was like an event organized by our university and Deloitte, but it wasn't just like specific for, you know, students from our university. But I just applied just for the sake of it. It didn't take too long. And then unfortunately, my friend actually got rejected. I eventually got accepted. So yeah, and then I just went there. It was pretty cool. So they have a really cool office. Yeah, I felt super bad for my friend because she initialized it and then I was there by myself. Yeah, but I went to the office. They have a really cool office in Munich. And then actually it was the worst start. I got there late. And just as a as a reminder,
you got there late.
Yeah, you shouldn't be late when you're going to the Deloitte office. You should be on time. You should be like 10 minutes early. I was there 10 minutes late. I think it was 9 minutes, but he said 10 minutes and I immediately got told off, which wasn't good. I went into the room. They set me down right in the front. So yeah, it was 26 people. So it wasn't that many people, right? But that was like the capacity and many more applied. But those were the people there. And it was kind of like, I looked around the table, was like a big like conference table in this like conference room. And to be honest, it was kind of like stereotypical, you know. I also wore like a shirt and proper, what's it called, like suit pants and all that kind of stuff. But everyone was sort of like dressed like that, like sort of like a bit more smart casual, I guess. But it kind of like, it really looked like the like young generation of these like typical consultants and stuff like that you see online. And then they just gave like a presentation of what it is they're actually doing, and then they split up like the different departments that they have in their business. But it was pretty interesting actually. Yeah.
But what was it about? What did you do?
Yeah. Okay. So it was the consult. So there were like, I think like 4 to 5 consultants or something. And all of them were from the consulting department also of Deloitte. Because, you know, Deloitte does like many things. They're like a business consultancy or like a management consultancy, but they're also like this financial auditing firm. So they're sort of like, you know, covering all grounds. And then they presented like a case study of like a client that they had recently been working with. And I actually realized the thing that Deloitte, or at least like their consulting team, is doing is the exact same thing that I'm doing with my business, just on a different scale. I mean, they help like these big corporations of the world, you know, develop their digital infrastructures, develop systems and processes to just become more efficient and to have well-working businesses. And that's exactly what I'm doing, but just like for mid-sized companies, which don't have like thousands of employees, but which might have like, I don't know, like 50 employees. So yeah, it was nice. It was some, I'm missing the word for it, but it was just nice to know that I'm technically doing the same thing already, just on a different scale. So I felt kind of good about myself. And I really tried because I was late. And I know, again, I was being challenged because I sat there and I know I was the one in the wrong. So I really tried to like keep looking confident. And I like, I applied this weirdest strategy. The consultant that told me off, I like made like really intense like eye contact with him the entire time, just to like try to show him that I'm not scared of him, because he looked like this typical like consultant, but like a young consultant. So maybe like 35, like well-dressed, like nice hair and all that kind of stuff. And I just really like, I looked at his eyes like so intensely to just like show him I'm not afraid of you. So that was sort of like the strategy. Yeah, but it was interesting. Yeah. And then like throughout the day, so we spent the entire day there. We also were given like material and then we presented, like we had to do our own case study in like groups. So it was kind of nice. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds fun actually.
Yeah. Wouldn't and it was not. This example. I mean, maybe to just like tie this experience like into the things we talked about previously, it was this thing like that an opportunity presented itself. So my friend telling me there's this Deloitte event, right? And then I took advantage of this opportunity, you know, which wasn't like a big investment for me. It just took like maybe 30 minutes to do the application. But then going there, it's again this like discrepancy. On one hand, it was like a lot of fun and I learned a lot and it's really cool that I did this. But then again, this day like really challenged me and my stress level monitors on on my Whoop was like so high on that day. Because like also like preparing the case study, we were only given like 2 hours, which seems like a lot of time. But then it was quite like high pressure. At least it felt like that. And so again, it was this great opportunity that I tried to take advantage of. But it also like it cost me an entire day of university, and it was just like a really intense day. So yeah, it's always, I don't know, I find it weird because on one hand it's like great all of this, but then again, like whenever you step outside of that comfort zone, it's also just like bloody like painful and like uncomfortable, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel stressed out about what you're telling me. and I didn't live it. But, I mean, yeah, I guess that, well, you know, but that's what stepping out of your comfort zone is. I kind of want to do that more because I feel like I know what you're telling me, but I feel like I don't feel that nearly, you know. Wait, are you still there? Because you froze.
Yeah, I'm still there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're just still, okay. sorry. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really know what to say, because I guess it is a good experience and I think that could have given you some value, but now do you feel like that was worth it? Because if you feel like it was, I don't know, I feel like you're really stressed about everything, aren't it? You have to be okay with like things happening and wasting time and like, I don't know. I mean, I guess this is not the typical thing like a productivity person or like entrepreneur would say, but because they're focused on like grinding and like doing good, yeah, and doing what you have to and like on your path and whatever.
Yeah,
discipline and everything, which is kind of something I do want to get better at, but I think you have to. You're too much on that. I need to kind of, I don't think that's still the best advice for you to be okay. Like, those people are billionaires. This is a real question. Do you want to be a billionaire? Like, or do you just want to live life well with financial, like, freedom and with time? Like, what do you want to, yeah, because I don't know that about you. Sorry,
yeah, good question. I mean, I think like in the first episode, we like as we were talking about the self-authoring program, we also talked about your outlook on the future and what you know, as part of that future part of this program, what you want for your future. I don't know. I mean, I like the idea of being a billionaire, obviously.
Yeah.
But then again, but it's a question of, there's a difference of, you know, like looking at the final result of being a millionaire and having that money like in stocks and in cash on your bank accounts or like in your like broker account or something. But of course, like getting to that point requires a certain path. And that's the thing, that's the actual payment for that life, right? Or the price you're paying. So I don't know. I'm not particularly aiming, at least for this year, I'm not trying to become a millionaire in 2024. We'll see about 2025. No, but I do want to make like, I want to be financially independent to like a significant point. So I definitely plan on like, and I mean, this is like easier said than done, of course, but I definitely becoming plan on becoming like a multimillionaire. And I feel it's not too unreasonable. Again, I'm super privileged. I have like all of the opportunities right in front of me, right? So all of this is possible. But again, it's like, of course, like everyone wants to be a millionaire. Everyone wants to have the life where you don't have to worry about money and where your life is full of opportunity. But then, of course, there's a price to be paid to get there. And again, this is coming back to this like grind and hustle culture. I don't believe that it necessarily requires you to like kill yourself and like live a miserable like life or waste your 20s away for working to get to that point. I want to believe that all of this is possible in like a cool and fun way that's engaging. I mean, that's maybe I should really read like the Feel Good Productivity from Ali Abdaal.
Yeah, like that's what I'm telling you. Like, you don't necessarily look at, I mean, I know Ali Abdaal is like, he's lucky as well, even though he's worked really hard. He also has that like luck factor, like obviously, but he's okay. Like, if he has an opportunity, I guess he takes it. That's what I'm telling you. Like, I'm not saying do whatever you want. You obviously have to do something different than everyone else to become a multi-millionaire, because if not, everyone would be multi-millionaire.
Yeah,
but you don't have to be like, you know, grind, be on that path. That's what I'm saying. Like, you went to Deloitte. That's not waste. That's not going out like partying or clubbing or whatever. So don't feel bad about that.
Yeah. No, I think you're totally right. I mean, I think I literally said this like in the last call, quoting Alan Watts with this, you know, treating life sincerely instead of seriously. And I stressed very like much that it's important to treat life sincerely to keep it fun, right? And I totally agree with Ali Abdaal on that. And right now I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm like treating it seriously. I'm getting into this like rigid mindset of like, oh, this is hard. And maybe, to be honest, like I really think it might really just be a sleep thing, right? We'll see how it goes. Yeah, Deloitte was fun. I hope you get a chance to experience that world, because I do think, again, there's like a discrepancy or like a difference between, obviously, it like sounds cool and everyone wants to work at Deloitte, or at least like people in our space who are interested in like the economic like management sort of like area or topic. But then, of course, like there's also like a certain reality to that, which has trade-offs, right? I asked one of the consultants who's also like really young. She went right after like finishing her degree to start working at Deloitte. And I asked her, is this a job you see yourself doing for the next 20 years? And she answered to me, well, her answer was that she doesn't see herself not doing it necessarily, but she also doesn't see herself like staying there for the rest of her career, because it comes with a certain lifestyle that, you know, is not super compatible with certain things like family and all that kind of stuff. Exactly. And again, like obviously like Deloitte is not the only way to get rich or anything. Again, I hope you get a chance. Like, you can look it up on their website. I didn't even know how it works. I've never applied to any of these companies, but they have like these application portals almost, right? So you sign up, you create like an account with like login credentials, and then also like, now that I've been accepted to this event, if I want to apply to like an internship or something, I don't even have to reapply again. They have all of my information, so I still have to apply for that position, right? And they still have to accept me, and I might have to go to an interview, but I don't need to resubmit like all of the documents. I'm like sort of like pre-approved now. So if you get the chance to like just go to an event or like apply for like an internship, you should definitely give that a try.
I will definitely look at that. yeah Yeah. And all right. Last thing. Sorry. Last thing about that, I just want to comment on it. What you said that you asked the consultant, like, I think consulting in, I don't know if that's the word, but in those big companies, I think it like kind of exploitation. Like, I know what it is, and I think it's definitely something a lot of people want to do, but something a lot of people romanticize, I think. So yeah. For me, I've never lived it, but my dad has kind of, and I could not see myself doing that for like a long time. But I do kind of want to feel the challenge. Like, I want to see that for a couple of years and like maybe 5 or whatever, but feel that, because it is kind of going into, I don't know how to explain. So you have life and it's like the wheel, like the trap, like university, job, whatever. But I do want to kind of feel that and feel what everyone else feels.
Yeah.
About like being exploited and like working so hard you can't do anything else. But just for a while, obviously, because that's not the life I want. But I do want to try that out. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate this because this is... So this is like this typical thing. I hate it all the time because all of these people that I look up to, and let's take Brian Johnson because, you know, I'm kind of obsessed with the guy, to be honest. But let's take him as an example, right? He is now this like health genius, essentially, you know, slowing his speed of aging at a record, speed, essentially. He's really in that space now, and he's against grind culture and all that kind of stuff, against self-destructive behavior. And that sounds great, and I want to embrace that, and I also want to, you know, take that advice and treat myself really well and try to take care of my health. But then again, he also, like, spent the first, like, 30 years of his life, like, killing himself, working himself to death, and he went through that before he got to that point of prioritizing his health. And with all of the other people that I look up to, it's the same thing. They eventually came to some realization. And it seems like it will be useful for me to just take that realization and apply it now so I don't have to go through all of the bullshit they went through. But at the same time, all of them still did go through that difficulty, right? Or like lived that difficult life before they came to that point. So I don't know. It feels like, and I think it's like a similar thing you mentioned, right? You know, it's like a difficult thing and you know it's probably gonna kill you and like make you miserable, but still you kind of want to experience, so you have it like in your portfolio of experiences. Again, there is a difference. I mean, we keep like hearing these like short quotes from like these big people telling us what to do, and probably they're right by you know proposing what they're proposing, but at the same time there's like, again, there's a difference between like just getting fed the final bit of information and having like gone through the entire experiment yourself to then get to that same result, maybe, but getting to it by yourself, by experience.
Yeah. And it's the same because, you know, when people give you advice and some people don't follow it and then they make a mistake and now they're okay, I should have listened. But when you haven't lived it, it's not the same. So I guess it also comes to the thing of like, how much do you believe it? So if you're convinced on your without having lived it, then I guess it's fine. Like, you don't have to do that. If they're telling you, I think it would be an advantage for you not to do that. But I don't know, like, I believe it, but at the same time, I still have that thing where I want to, I don't know, like, I see the big picture, but I consciously want to go into the thing, just having the big picture. It's not like if you've gone out of the matrix, like going back into the matrix, like already knowing, kind of. Do you know what I mean? Kind of.
Yeah. But I think it annoys me because I have the same feeling I feel like I want to suffer and then come out the other end, you know, overcoming that suffering.
Exactly.
But I know it's stupid. It's so ridiculous. It's just annoying. Why do I want to go there? But it's just like this human trait. I think maybe we also like want to play the hero. I want to suffer so I can talk about my suffering and then how I overcame it. If I didn't even suffer, like, then what is my story worth, right? If it wasn't even difficult, then who's gonna bother? Why should I even be interested in my own story? So it's ridiculous, and hopefully we're going to find a way around it, but it's just what it is, I guess.
I don't know, but I don't see it as a bad... Like, I know you're saying I hate that I want this, but I don't mind wanting this, because I think I would get some value out of it. I would... You do learn from the experience, like, for sure, and you're still going to be working in a really big company, so when you have your company, you know a lot of things that... from having lived in it, so... I don't know. I always take the example of my dad, and I know I say this a lot, but this is what he did, and he's totally fine, and he didn't do this for like ages, so he doesn't have like the mental load, but he always tells me, like, if I had to do it again, knowing how it was, I would do it again, because I've learned so many things out of it, even if I know it's not the best thing, it's not like the best, like, for sure, this is why he doesn't work at that anymore. He knows he got value out of it, so why not? Like, it doesn't have to be... you're not doing it for a lot of years. You know what you want to do, but, like, why not? You do get value of it, and you get money out of it, because it pays well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, just to add to this as, like, a final comment, because... Okay. I love it when I hear people say something and then I'm able to connect it to some previous information. And in this case, that just happened because I read this book like a while ago, Deep Work from
Carl Newport.
Yeah, from Newport, right? And he has this one thing, this one concept which really stuck with me, which is this concept called like some benefit. Because fair point, of course, like living the consulting life, and obviously that's also changing. That's what they also told us. It's like not this typical, like you have to kill yourself and grind yourself to death anymore. It's changing, especially with like digitalization, everything. But let's just picture it as like this typical, you're hustling, you're grinding for like a certain amount of time. This concept of some benefit is essentially saying, yes, of course, you're going to get like a tremendous amount of like value from that in terms of experience when you work for Deloitte, also in terms of like credibility because it looks nice on your CV and all that kind of stuff. But the question is this like the best benefit or like all the benefit, or is it just like some benefit? Of course, you're getting something and that's valuable, but what's the price you paid for that? Like if you get a Porsche, right? And that's obviously like a valuable thing, like having a Porsche. But if you had to sell like your physical heart for that, then it'd be a pretty bad deal, actually, right? So I think it's also like sometimes difficult, of course, and I'm not trying to like propose like having the perfect solution for this, but it's sometimes difficult to see the relationship between the output you assume to get from something and then the input you have to put in to actually get that output, right? Because we all want the greatest output, but often it's like kind of like unclear or like a shadow type of situation what the actual input is. And I just hope I can find a way, and I want to believe I can find a way to get a good deal on this entire process, right? And on the different parts of my process.
Yeah, that is
all right.
A great mindset.
Should we wrap it up here? I'm really sorry. Yeah. I was kind of in this dark mode today, I guess. But
no, it's fine. It's good we have like our ups and downs in the podcast so we can like know what our mindset is depending on how we feel, depending on how much we sleep.
Yeah, I'll try to get a good night's sleep. And then we'll see each other again probably tomorrow, right?
If we have
the time.
Yeah,
and then we can actually
see
the direct comparison between a podcast recording on really bad sleep compared to a podcast recording on hopefully good sleep.
Yeah, that could be like the, what's it called? The name of the podcast, like Call on Good Sleep versus Call on Bad Sleep.
Yeah.
That's good. Like,
well, sleep's important.
Yeah.
All right. It was nice talking to you. Thanks for all of the encouragement. We'll get this settled. And it really likes on a last note, I know this is like I'm starting a whole new thing again. But for me, it is really valuable to talk to people about in like specific struggles that I'm having or like things that are difficult, and just getting some kind of external perspective. So I really appreciate the encouragement.